the book of Genesis, chapter 45, book of Genesis, chapter 45, and we'll read the entire chapter. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" His brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. He said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not that you sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy father's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither." And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, "Joseph's brethren are come." And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Say unto thy brethren, This do ye. Lade your beast, and go to you into the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households, and come unto me. And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded this day, do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours." Children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, "See that ye fall not out by the way." And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, "Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob the father revived. And Israel, Jacob, said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." Now, Joseph was the favorite of his father, Jacob. That led to a growing hatred of Joseph's brothers toward Joseph. One day, Joseph went out to the field to see how his brothers were doing. At that time, his brothers conspired to kill Joseph. Reuben suggested that let's not kill him. Let's cast him into a pit, which they did. And we read that there was no water in that pit, and there's Joseph in the pit, and Joseph's brothers sit down and eat and drink around that pit. Some Ishmaelites passed through, and Reuben said, let's sell him. Let's sell Joseph to these Ishmaelites, which, of course, they did. In the meantime, they took the colt of Joseph, the colt that his father had made him to express his love. They took that colt and they dipped it in the blood of a goat. And they brought the colt to Jacob. And they let Jacob conclude and assume that Joseph had been killed by some wild animals. In the meantime, the Ishmaelites bring Joseph into Egypt, sell him to Pharaoh's captain, whose name was Potiphar. And Joseph served in Potiphar's house very faithfully. And then one day he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and he was cast in prison. While in prison, there's a lot of things that transpired, but while in prison, Pharaoh had two dreams. These were two dreams that greatly troubled Pharaoh. And there was no one in Pharaoh's palace that could interpret the dreams. A word was sent to Pharaoh that Joseph, there in prison, was an interpreter of dreams. So Pharaoh called Joseph, had Joseph sent to the palace, and Joseph interprets the two dreams. He basically tells Pharaoh, he says, the two dreams mean the same thing. It says there's going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of abundance. And following that 7 years of abundance, there's going to be 7 years of great famine. So Pharaoh, this is what you need to do. You need to set a man over all your supplies during the 7 years of plenty, a man of wisdom, a man that you trust, and you need to put him in charge of all your storehouses. Put him in charge of all your granaries. And during the 7 years of famine, this man will distribute your provisions to the people so that the people of Egypt will not starve. So what you have here is Joseph endured rejection. He endured slavery. He endured false accusations. He endured prison. And now he's the prime minister of all of Egypt. He's the exalted one. Joseph is the most complete type of Christ in all the Word of God. Both Joseph and Christ were beloved of their father. Both Joseph and Christ were hated by their brethren. Both Joseph and Christ were plotted against by their brethren, mistreated, and delivered to die. And both Joseph and Jesus Christ, they both were delivered from the pit of death. And they were both exalted by God. And you could go on for weeks and look at all the parallels between Joseph and Christ. But just like Jesus, Joseph had everything that a famine-stricken people needed. Notice in chapter 41 of Genesis, verse 56 and verse 57. and the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all the land. All countries came unto Joseph, because it was Joseph who had everything that they needed. In all countries, no matter what language they spoke, no matter what color their skin was, no matter what their background was, if they were going to obtain food, they had to come to Joseph. And of course, that speaks of Christ. During the process of the famine, Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt. Now, Jacob thinks Joseph is dead, of course. Jacob sends his sons to Egypt to buy corn. And they were able to obtain corn from their brother Joseph, but they did not recognize that it was Joseph. And they returned home with all the corn and with all the provisions. And we read in Genesis 43 and verse 2, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again and buy a little food. So once again, Joseph's brothers head off to Egypt. And once again, they come into the presence of Joseph. They do not know who Joseph is. It's been 25 years thereabouts. Joseph fills their sacks with food. He puts his silver cup in the sack of Benjamin. And then he sends his brothers on their way. Well, they didn't get too far when Joseph sends men to accuse them of stealing his silver cup. And they're brought back into the presence of Joseph. And that's where our text picks up. And we could spend months preaching here from Genesis 45. There's so much to see. But in the text, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. And he's reconciled to them. And he opens the storehouses. He loads down their 20 mules with supplies for their families. And he sends them home. But he sends them home with those 20 mules laden with supplies, and he sends them home with wagons. The wagons were sent to transport their families to Joseph. Most of all, to transport Jacob, his father, to Joseph. They eventually arrived home. Again, the mules loaded down with supplies and all of these wagons. And we read there in verse 27, when Jacob saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, his heart was revived. And we want to take the thought of the message from those words. And when he saw the wagons, we want to speak this morning on seeing the wagons. Seeing or looking for the wagons. First of all, by way of background, consider the conditions of the time. It was a time of famine. We learn from verse 6 and we learn from verse 11 that by the time we get to Genesis 45, the famine had already been going on for 2 years. 2 years And Joseph reminds them that there are 5 more years to come of this famine. The famine is described, notice in Genesis 41 and verse 30. The latter part of the verse says, "And the famine shall consume the land." So it was a famine that, of course, had a destroying force. It was a famine that destroyed the land. It was a famine that would ruin, would wreck, would crush and overwhelm and suppress the land. It had been going on for 2 years, and there was 5 more years to go. The famine also is described, notice in verse 31 of Genesis 41. The latter part of that verse says, "For it shall be very grievous." That is, it was a famine that was accompanied by severe pain, suffering, sorrow, that which would oppress the people. Again, it has been going on for 2 years, but there's 5 years to go. It was also a famine that resulted, of course, in widespread hunger. Notice in verse 55 of Genesis 41, "And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh then sent them to Joseph. And he said, 'You do what Joseph tells you to do.'" But it was a famine, of course, that led to widespread hunger. Verse 57, "The famine was so sore in all lands." And we see it was also a time of great barrenness. Notice in chapter 42 and verse 12, "And he said unto them, 'Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land,'" the barrenness of the land. So for 2 years, crops had been dying in the fields. No doubt livestock were dying. Wells were dying, were drying up. Rivers were drying up. Brooks were drying up. People were dying. This was a very serious situation. But during it all, Joseph had everything they needed. Our Joseph, Jesus, has everything we need. No doubt it was a time of great sorrow. It was a time of great grief. I'm sure children died. It was a time of heartache. It was a time of anguish. It was a great burden. 2 years. But during this time, Joseph had everything they needed. No doubt it was a time of great hopelessness for many. A time of great restlessness. A time of utter futility for the people. But again, it was during this time that Joseph had everything they needed. All through the Old Testament, we read of many different occasions where Israel experienced times of famine. But in the book of Amos, chapter 8 and verses 11 and 12, if we turn there, we see the worst famine of all in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." That's a worse famine than any famine of food. And this is the famine that we find ourselves in today. And as a result, people are being consumed spiritually. And there is a spiritual destructive force that has overwhelmed and has surpassed many today, leaving behind spiritual barrenness, leaving behind spiritual ruin, leaving behind spiritual decay. And people have become spiritual skeletons because of this famine for the Word of God. But during it all, and it is a time that is devastating, and it is a time of great pain and sorrow, but during it all, Joseph has everything we need. That is our Joseph. Jesus has everything we need. And just like Joseph, in the very midst of the famine, Jesus Christ is exalted above all. And Jesus Christ has the keys to all the storehouses. He has the keys to all the granaries. He has the authority over it all. So it was a time of great famine. But it was also a time of needed revival. Jacob and his sons were in a miserable and wretched condition, which is a picture of many of God's people today. But again, it was Joseph who had everything that they needed. Think about Jacob's sons, Jacob's brothers. For 25 years, they had been living their lives in guilt. They had been living their lives in guilt because of their mistreatment of their brother, Joseph. They were living their lives in guilt because they had selfishly cast Joseph to the side for what they thought would be their own personal gain. The very same reason that people cast Jesus to the side today. For their own personal gain. For 25 years, they had lived their lives apart from Joseph. For 25 years, they lived without fellowship with Joseph. Many of God's people are doing the same, trying to live their lives after having mistreated and having cast Jesus aside for personal gain. And they try to live their lives apart from Jesus Christ, out of fellowship with Jesus Christ. It's a miserable life. And this was the life that Joseph's brothers were living. Then there's Jacob. Jacob, for 25 years, lived his life under a false assumption. People do that. After Joseph's brothers had so mistreated Joseph, selling him into slavery, they went home and led their father to some wrong conclusions. Notice in Genesis 37, verse 31 through 33. Let's begin reading with verse 30. And he returned unto his brethren, that is Reuben, and said, "The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?" And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him." Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Jacob's mind immediately jumped to the Joseph is dead. And then it went even further. He even assumed how Joseph died. And for 25 years, Jacob lived his life believing that Joseph had been killed by wild animals. For 25 years, Jacob's life, to some degree, was paralyzed because of an assumption. For 25 years, Jacob's life was crippled. And Jacob's life was being suffocated. Jacob was a miserable individual. All because he jumped to a conclusion. Now, there's a lot of messages in that, but that's not our point. So we see the condition. It's a time of famine. It's a time of needed revival. Joseph's brothers needed revival. Jacob needed a revival. So what is the solution? Joseph not only had the solution to the famine, Joseph was the solution. So it is today. We live in the worst famine that the world has ever seen. A famine of hearing the word of God. And our Joseph Jesus Christ, he not only has the answer, he is the answer to everything that you and I need. Now, Joseph, he, of course, had the keys to the storehouses. He had the keys to the granaries. And it was he who would distribute to the people. Pharaoh's advice to the Egyptians was there in Genesis 41 and 55, go unto Joseph, and what he saith to you, that is still the answer today. That's still the answer. Even in this time of famine, that is still the answer. Go to Joseph. Go to Jesus. And whatever he says to you, you do it. You do it without any hesitation. You do it without any question. That's the answer. That has always been the answer. The problems may take on different forms, but the answer has always remained the same. The problem is today, people are looking for a different answer. But that is the answer. The solution is illustrated, if we go back to our text, Genesis 45. The solution is illustrated in Joseph's brothers. In our text, Joseph's brothers are brought into the presence of Joseph. And this is where the child of God needs to be. Whatever it is that you might be experiencing, this is where you need to be. In the presence of Jesus Christ. Until you get there, nothing's going to get better. Nothing. You've got to get there. You've got to get into the presence of Jesus Christ. Now in Genesis 45, Joseph's brothers are really before him for the third time. And Joseph decides now's the time for me to reveal myself to them. First thing he does is he causes every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. It was just Joseph and his brothers. You need to get alone with Jesus Christ. And Joseph made himself known. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what went on during that time? And we read in verse 2, he wept aloud. He wept so loud that the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh could hear him weeping. So he revealed himself. That's the solution. But then notice in verse 3, he said unto his brethren, because they're in disbelief, they can't believe. I mean, it's been 25 years. So he said to them again, I'm Joseph. And he asked them a question. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. We need to get so alone with Jesus Christ that we're troubled at his presence. That's when we know we're in his presence. But then notice there's an invitation, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me. That is, draw a little closer. You're in my presence. He's shown himself who he is. And now he says, come a little closer. That's always the solution. They came near. And he said again, I am Joseph. I am Joseph, your brother. And then he said it, whom you sold. Whom you sold into Egypt. Now they're not only face to face with Joseph, they're face to face with their sin. I'm telling you, it won't get better until you get face to face with Joseph. And until you get face to face with your sin. That's where they are. He confronts them. In verse 5, their hearts are broken. He says, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves. That's not the solution. When you sin, and when you make a mess of your life, the solution is not to grieve the rest of your life. That's not the solution. The solution is not to be angry with yourself the rest of your life. What Joseph tells them is, I have forgiven you. Don't be grieved. Don't be angry. He says, you sold me hither, but it was God who did all of this. He forgave them. And then notice in verse 14, there was reconciliation. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. They were reconciled. And then notice what it says. And after that, after the reconciliation took place, his brethren talked with him. And oh, what a conversation it was. There are many of God's people today who cannot talk with Jesus Christ because they need what Joseph's brother so desperately needed. So the solution was to get into the presence of Joseph, to get close to Joseph. This was the solution for their mistreatment of Joseph. This was the solution for them casting aside Joseph for their own personal gains. This was the solution. But notice that Joseph was very interested in their welfare. It's always so. No matter what you're doing, No matter the condition of your life, as a child of God, God is very, very interested in your welfare, in your life. He told his brothers in verse 11, he said, there's 5 more years of famine to come. He said, I want you to go down in verse 13, and I want you to bring my father hither. Bring dad to me. It's been 25 years. I want you to bring him to me. And then notice verse 18. In verse 17, he loads their beast. And verse 18, he says, and take your father and your households, and come unto me. I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Again, remember, there's 5 more years of famine. But you go down, and I want you to bring all your families back, and I want you to bring dad back as well, and you'll have everything you need. In verse 19, now thou art commanded this to do, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father and come. So don't worry about your stuff, for all the good of Egypt is yours. What Joseph was doing is the same thing that Christ does all the time. He was making provision for their future. He knew the future. He knew there was 5 more years of famine. And he was making provision for his people. But more importantly than that, he desired that they would be near to him. And he provided a way where they could be. That's still true today. Jesus Christ, you that are saved, he desires for you to be near to him. And I promise you, he has made a way for it to happen. The way here was the wagons. So the sons of Jacob, they take the 20 mules and all the wagons, and they return home. Wagon after wagon rolls out of the palace. Those wagons are on a rescue mission. Bring Jacob and his family to Joseph. We read in verse 25, and they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And we just picture it. Jacob goes to the door of his tent. He looks out. He sees the 20 donkeys. They're his donkeys. He recognizes them. But he sees that they're loaded down with food. They're loaded down with provisions. And how often Jesus Christ sends the provisions we need right where we are. That's what Joseph did. There also came some incredible news. They said to Jacob, Joseph is yet alive. And I like those words in verse 26, and he is. He's not only alive, he is. And he is. He is governor over all the land. 25 years are over. Jacob had lived on the assumption that Joseph is not. But now the news comes, he is. He is. And how often, in the midst of trials and difficulties, Jesus sends us the news. He is. He is. Just reminding us that he is alive and that he is governor over all the land. And he has everything that we need. Jacob, again, had spent the last years of his life crying, Joseph is not, Joseph is not, Joseph is not. But that day the news came, Joseph is. But you'll notice, and Jacob's heart fainted. Why? Verse 26, for he believed them not. God sends us good tidings every day. I don't believe there's a day that goes by in my life or in your life that God does not send us some good tidings. Sending us reminders that Jesus Christ is governor over the land. And how many times our hearts faint because we believe it not. We faint because of unbelief. They then proceeded to tell Jacob all that Joseph said. And in so doing, I'm sure they told him the whole story, how we sold him. They told Jacob everything. And again, you can only imagine what transpired that time. But somewhere along the line, when they were telling Jacob everything that had transpired, Jacob looked up, and we read that he saw the wagons. He knew the mules were his, but those wagons weren't his. And he's got to be thinking, those aren't my wagons. Why are the wagons here? The wagons were there to carry Joseph, to carry Jacob and all his family. To Joseph. And then we read, the spirit of Jacob revived. For 25 years, he'd been paralyzed. He'd been crippled. His life was being suffocated. But when he saw the wagons, a revival took place in the heart of Joseph. Those wagons were there to unite Jacob and Joseph. We need to always be looking for the wagons. I'm not talking about literal wagons, but the wagons are always there. The Lord is always sending the wagons right where we are to carry us into the presence of our Joseph, of Jesus Christ. These wagons can take many forms. They can come in the form of trials. And many times we need to look at the trials. Hey, these are the wagons. These are the wagons that God is going to use to carry me into the presence of the one who has everything I need. The sorrows, the griefs. Many times these are the wagons. But I guarantee you, in the midst of the sorrows, in the midst of the griefs, in the midst of the trials, if you'll only look somewhere, God has sent His wagons to pick you up and carry you to Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, that's the solution. Notice Genesis 46. Verse 29, we've run out of time. Verse 29, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, that is Jacob. Now, another message, but Jacob, of course, is his original name, represents the flesh. Israel is his new name, represents the spirit. Every time the name Jacob is used, it's never favorable. Every time the name Israel is used, it's completely different. That's a different message. But verse 29. He went up to meet Israel, or Jacob, his father, to Goshen. Notice, again, I can just picture Jacob in the wagons. He's in the wagon. The wagon's bringing him closer and closer to his son. And then what did Joseph do? He presented himself unto him. What a joy. The wagons come and get us. The only way that they can get across that wilderness, all those people, is the wagons. The wagons come and present us. We find ourselves in the very midst of our Joseph, and Joseph presented himself unto him. Can you imagine the joy of Jacob? Imagine you thinking that your child has been dead for 25 years. And then suddenly you come into his presence. Oh, the joy that would fill your heart. Joseph presented himself, and he fell on his neck, and he wept on his neck a good while. Now, I don't know how long that is, but it's a good while. That's what it says. They were reunited. The wagons. The wagons was what made this reuniting possible. I'm telling you today, we need to always be looking for the wagons. They're there. Because our Joseph, Jesus, he's concerned about our welfare. And he wants us to spend our lives in his presence. We by nature, we're like sheep and we go astray. The Lord's always sending his wagons. And sometimes you do not recognize the wagons and you go further and further and further away. But he just keeps sending the wagons. They're always there. They're always there to bring you back into the presence of Jesus Christ. And oh, what a wonderful day it is when one day we look up and in the midst of whatever our circumstances are at the time, there's those wagons. They're not my wagons. They're wagons from another country. And God has sent them. And those wagons, if I will get in that wagon, the Lord will carry me right to Joseph. And just there in Genesis 46:29, when Jacob and Joseph are reunited, everything changed for Jacob. We read in Genesis 45, when he saw the wagons, he says, "It is enough. That is, I'm satisfied. I can die now. I can die now. I'm satisfied. I'm fulfilled." Look for the wagons. Always look for the wagons because they're there. And then thank God for the wagons that we can be brought back into the presence of Jesus Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.